everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. We got a newbie. He just told me Dylan McElrath of the Washington Capitals. Been around for a million years, never done a podcast before. And you can tell his hair's fixed up perfectly. His beard is coiffed just amazingly. His sweater falls off of him like a Greek Adonis. Dylan, thank you for putting in so much effort. I like to say to think it's for me, but I'm sure it's not. How are you, my man? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited to do this.
Yeah, it's funny. I always do research. And when I reached out to you and you were so kind to say, yes, we have to work with your schedule, I got thinking, I'm like, I know Dylan somehow. I've been around him in my life and I have a terrible memory. And I start looking at your history. I'm like, well, I didn't train with him, I don't think. And then I was like, he was a black ace with the New York Rangers. I'm almost positive when I was getting bag skated. Please tell me that's how I know.
Yes, absolutely. We shared the ice for a brief moment in time. Yeah.
It was a long black ace because that's the year the Rangers went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you remember anything from that time? Because you were a young kid at the time, probably 22.
Yeah, no, that was 2 months. Yeah. Because I was in Hartford that year and then we got called up and obviously didn't make the playoffs. And so 2 months, it went all to distance and, actually a lot of fond memories of that time. Obviously bag skates are one thing, but got really close to the guys that I was with, the guys that came up from Hartford, the young guys I was with. And, we still talk to this day. We're in a group chat and it all stems from that, black ace journey. So, a lot of good times. Yeah.
No kidding. And correct me if I'm wrong. It was Chris Newbury. Was JT Miller in that group?
Yeah, he was like a bubble guy. He would be with you guys. He'd be with us. I think he was hurt for a little bit there. But yeah, he played with us most of that season. So we were close to him. Yeah. He was getting pulled up to the big club too.
It's bizarre to see where he is now and where you are now. And you guys were just pretty much schmelts just getting bag skated with me. And even Matt Zuccarello was in our group. Like there was some serious talent in those bag skates. And it's like, man, now 15 years later, you guys are superstars in the NHL.
superstar is a stretch for me. But yeah, it is pretty cool to see JT. I got to talk to him the other day and just to see him leading them as the captain. It's nuts to think of when we were rookies like that.
It kind of comes full circle because you're shooing your dog away. Oh, you just got someone passes you a drink mid-interview?
That's just me. I'm so over.
I thought your wife's sitting there behind camera just passing you drinks. I'm like, man, what a wife you have. But it's a cool to think JT Miller and yourself and even Zooks, but he was always good. It's like the career trajectory is kind of neat to think about. Like you played with him with the Connecticut Whale. Did you play with him in Hartford? And now the guy's making 10 mil a year back with the Rangers and he's the captain of the team. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Bizarre. Yeah,
life is funny like that.
It comes at you fast, but let's not talk about JT. I want to talk about you because like I was saying, I was doing my research and I thought I got healthy scratched a lot in my career. And then I start looking at yours and I'm like, Dylan McElrath might have me beat in this area because I played 8 years, 9 years in the show, played roughly 300 games. And I would have swore that you have played 200-400 games in the NHL just because whenever I see you, it's always around big moments and, you know, not controversy, but just big moments seem to follow you around just because you're a big dude. 92 games, Dylan. How does that happen?
Well, a lot of time in the minors, that's for sure. And then, I think just a lot. I've know every press box meal. know which ones have the best snacks, but I think my journey was pretty well documented last year. Being able to make the team out of camp, first time in about a decade for me that had happened. So, I was just ecstatic to be back in the National League full time for that moment. I didn't really know until I got my housing letter. I felt surreal that I was still in the NHL. I think I'm just fortunate to kind of be able to stay healthy. I mean, at my age, to make the league again is very rare, and I don't think take that for granted. So, it's been quite the journey, that's for sure.
And you didn't do it the easy way because I played with first rounders. For those of you who don't know, Dylan was a first rounder with the Rangers back in 2010, like a million years ago, number 10 overall. And I played Dylan with countless first rounders who, when they don't get initially, they just shut down because it's typically things come easy for them. You did not come easy for you. You had your chance with the Rangers. It didn't work out. 3 years there. Mentally, what is that like? Because obviously other defensemen are passing you up. You're seeing guys in the depth chart that you think you're ahead of them. You're number 10 overall. And I guess we'll get to the mentally part later, mentality. But what happened with New York? Because when I saw you, you're a hell of a defenseman. I was like, this guy's destined for stardom. Perfect system, perfect coach. How did it not fall apart, but what happened there?
Yeah, I think that era of New York, they were so good. They were so consistent, their decor, and they were in win-now mode. And to be fair, I came off a pretty bad knee injury. I cut my first season. I only started in January of that year, my rookie year. So I was behind the eight ball developmental-wise, just kind of getting up to speed with the back to playing against pros and all that. And then really trying to find my game. I knew I got drafted there as a big, tough presence, and then figuring out how to navigate being that kind of enforcer type and still being able to play against good players. So that took me longer. Took me a while to figure that out, and really honing my craft and figuring out when to pick my spots, how to play a physical game but not make a distraction. That took some time, and I think just with the Rangers, once I finally did break through, I was started the seventh defenseman, got about 30-40 games that season, thought I was going to get some traction. Again, they were in a win now mentality. Maybe I didn't have a strong camp and it was just on to the next. And a lot of ups and downs with New York, but I still think that was a pivotal point in my career to get back here. It taught me a lot.
Taught you what? And I don't want to put you on the spot because, you know, you leave that open-ended question, but it's like, what does that teach you? Because you, like you said, the D was loaded. They had McDonough, they had Girardi, they had Stahl. I think they had Dan Boyle still when you were there. It's an impossible decor to crack. And I'm guessing, was there any pressure being the 10th pick overall? You're like, I got to make an impact.
Yeah.
How do you balance that?
And this is right when kind of social media just started taking off back then. And that was something to grasp with, hearing the noise a bit and like maybe fans putting a little pressure. I mean, I already had pressure on myself from myself, but I never really thought of myself as a should have been a 10th overall pick. Coming into junior, I was kind of no scouts had even heard of me. And then I had a coach, my second year junior, say if you fight 10 times before Christmas you'll get drafted. So I just thought that was incredible, like, wow, I can do that. And then at the end of the year I have like 22 fights and I go 10th overall. So I was just, it all happened so fast. And then back to your point of like how the loaded D and everything, but like I just always had the mentality, and I think I had wise advice from someone along the way, just said, if you're good enough, you'll make it. Like, and that's
probably me.
And just, exactly. So I never tried to be jaded. I never thought poor me. Obviously pissed I never got to make it. I just really wanted to be a Ranger. They drafted me. That was my whole goal, my whole life. And that from that point in my life. And, never had the mentality of a poor me. I just tried to keep going. That's what those New York days taught me.
Yeah. And they put you through the ringer because you up and down and up and down, and it's super quick to go to Connecticut and Hartford. And they were great at just sending guys down at the perfect time to not pay them and this and that. But the one thing when you were at the Rangers, you cut your teeth first fight. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ryan Reeves.
Brian McGrattan was the first fight. Yeah.
Oh, and even easier fight. That was the thing I was wondering, because when you look at your fight card, it's basically every heavyweight who ever lived in that era. Like, you didn't duck anybody, you didn't dodge anybody. What's that like? Because I had a guy to protect me in Derek Boogaard for a long time. So Boogie would take the tough guy and I would take the second toughest guy. And that was my first couple of years. It was super nice. You're fighting the heavies of the heavies, and they're licking their chops like, there's a young kid, I'm going to beat his doors off. How is that mentally, where you're coming into a game, you're like, gosh, I got to make an impact, I got to play good, I got to win this fight, or else I'm back down to Hartford?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what was going through my mind. I was keeping me, couldn't pregame nap. All the stories, I'm sure you felt that way a bit too. Like, first game, knowing up, or I think it might have been my second game with New York, knowing that Calgary's coming in and Brad McGrattan's there, and if I want to stay, I got to do this, do that. And then, the next year, same thing with Reeves. Never was easy. I knew I had, like, some experience in the minors and got pretty good at fighting, knew how to handle myself. But that's just, you're in the show. You're in the spotlight. So it's just that extra, the nerves, and that these guys are grown men that can, do some damage. So it seems like a lifetime ago when you go back to that era, thinking about fighting that crop of fighters. But it never gets easier, that's for sure.
It's cool to do it in New York, because, like, I played there for like a week and a half. Like, I was in and out super fast. What did you think of the whole Rempy mania when he came in? Because that was almost you. You know, it could have been you in the right situation, right circumstance. He comes in last year and just explodes onto the scene, starts fighting everybody. Did you feel for the kid? Because all eyes were on him when he was in the spotlight. And he's not winning the fights, but it's so much attention. And when I was there, it was Lin Sandy. Yeah. Jeremy Lin was going nuts. And it was the same kind of sense. Did you feel for him at all? Because he's just trying to play hockey.
Yeah, you know what? I did. And like New York, the highs are highs, the lows are lows. So I think he got a taste of that early. He was on top of the world, fighting every night, and Hockey Night in Canada, all the big tilts. And and then tried to find his way in his game. And I think last year he was up and down a bit, and just, it wasn't going great for him in certain points. And then, now I think he's figured everything out, kind of the balance of the game. But it takes time. And if it's anyone to sympathize with him, it was me. I was just 10 years before him. He's figured out to make an impact in the NHL, and he's doing a good job.
Well, Slatch drafted you, right? Glenn Sather, and he loved his tough guys. And I walked into his office when I got traded there. He's like, I love tough guys. That's why you're here. Just don't mess it up. Hey, do you have any Slatch stories? Because he went out on a limb to draft you, 10 overall, big dude from Moose Jaw. Would you get like 20 points that year or whatever? But like, that's a, what was it like with Slats? Because he's a legend.
Yeah, he's just larger than life. I guess a Slats story, boy. We had training camp. I guess you weren't there. You got traded later. But we had training camp out in Western Canada because the MSG was getting renoed. And we went to Banff. And Slats owns Banff, basically, which I didn't know at the time. Oh, he has this palace. Yeah. And he knows everyone there. We were staying at the Fairmont, Banff Springs. And it just that was like a welcome to the NHL moment. We all have a dinner party at his place. And he's just got these trap doors with rooms filled with just paraphernalia from all these Hockey Hall of Famers pictures and signed stuff. And it was just the magnitude of how big of a presence he actually is in that neighborhood. And obviously in New York too, just the legend was, every time I came across him, it was, just felt like you were meeting a celebrity.
It did. And then you walk into his little office that he had at MSG and there's a million names on the board. It's like, how do you keep all that in your brain? But he knew every single player, every single league, AHL, East Coast. It was amazing to kind of see that guy work in action. Cause you figure he's just, why does he have to? He's won a million Stanley Cups. So I know, I thought that was interesting. So this is, you're done with the Rangers, and I didn't want to go into chronological order, but it seems to be working out that way. And then the AHL journey starts. And then the fun starts to begin. And I was, I'm looking at your hockey DB. I'm like, damn, like he went everywhere, but it's so cool to see you succeeding everywhere you go. You know what I mean? And I was a free agent 7 times. I was a UFA because I only signed 1 year deals. You've been in that same situation, always a UFA, because you're obviously out of your ELC, you're 25, you're 27, you're 29, you're 30. When you're looking for a new team, what do you look for? Because I'm sure you had people trying to get you to sign. You're a first rounder. You can move the puck. You're tough as nails. You probably had a lot of options. When you leave New York and you go to Florida or Detroit or wherever, what do you look for in a team before you sign that contract?
Well, it just so happened, I actually never really made it free agency.
Way to dump on my question. That's awesome. But thanks, Dylan. I appreciate it.
You look at my hockey DB, I'm everywhere. But that season, I leave New York. I get waived. Go to Hartford for about a week, and then I get traded to Florida. So I spend about 3 months in Florida, play 5 games, doesn't work out, get waived again, go down to Springfield, play a handful of games there, and then get traded again that same year to Detroit, but I end up in Grand Rapids. So I played for 5 teams in 1 season, up and down. So and then I end up in Grand Rapids, and then we win the Calder Cup, and I'm a pretty big piece of that team. And right 2 days before free agency, it just seemed like a good fit. Obviously, you're on a high, you win a Calder Cup, and then I think Detroit was rebuilding right when they're starting their rebuild. So it was, the advice that I got was, it's no better team to try to crack the NHL on a rebuilding team. So and then I had some rapport with the organization. They took a chance on me, trading for me. So, and I just love the city of Grand Rapids too. It was a lot of fun to play there. And then, so I played 2 years there. I never get called up until the last 8 games of the second year of my contract. I signed a 2-year deal, and then it goes well there. So I signed another 2-year deal. They keep me coming back, and
they promised you the world. Next year is going to be different. I promise, Dylan.
But it ended up being different. I didn't make the team out of camp, but I get called up a month in, and I play, I think, 18, 19 games in a row, which was since New York, that was my longest stint in the NHL. Yeah. So, and that was the historic, horrible team in Detroit, where I think we had a 18 game losing streak kind of thing. And then that COVID bubble, and the team didn't even go. So the next year I'm in Grand Rapids again, just doing that shortened season. And then finally I'm a free agent. So I guess I did go to free agency once. I lied. So you're right. And then, and then Washington came calling, and I don't know why. I think they just were one of the first to reach out, and that meant a lot. And they seemed eager to want me, and that was a good feeling wanted. And then after being in Detroit with, they were going through the rebuild, and they were more giving their young guys and prospects, as they should, a shot. And then Washington seemed like more of a veteran group, and maybe I was going to be that guy that could fill in, had some experience to plug in. And then that's how I made my decision there. And then I guess the rest is history, because we won the Calder Cup, and then I resigned, we win another Calder Cup, and then last year happened. So it all worked out. Yeah. So I'm very happy to be here now.
We'll take a break in the show real quick to talk to you about a company called Soul. If you like a nice night out, if you want to go out with the boys or girls or take the wife out on a date, but you don't always want to have a cocktail, if you don't always go on to have a beer or a glass of wine, you just feel like something else. Well, luckily, I have found you a great alternative. It is called Soul's Out of Office Gummies. They can give you that same light, happy buzz without the hangover. You don't get all the sugar or the awkward kind of feelings the next morning. You're not going to be barfing over the toilet. It's all good. It's all natural. Soul is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy. Soul specializes in delicious, hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation with 5 different strengths you can tailor the dose to fit your vibe from a gentle 1.5 milligram microdose to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience. So bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul is offering my audience 30% off your entire order. So go to GetSoul.com and use the code GLOVES. That's GetSoul.com, promo code GLOVES for 30% off. Cheers, everybody. And it kind of worked out exactly like you hoped. You get called up a little bit here and there. Nobody really got hurt in Washington during that run because that's when they were, you know, President's Trophy, everything was going great. But you're having your time in Hershey. And the time's different in the AHL now. Like, it's not like when I was there, you're making 60 grand. Like, I'm not going to say what you made. It's good money. So it's not that big of a difference. You almost, correct me if I'm wrong, make more in the AHL because there's no escrow. And I'm guessing state taxes are a little better. And you're in a prominent position with the Hershey Bears where you're captain and you're winning Calder Cups and you're gaining this just experience. And all of a sudden you go from this kid in New York that didn't work out and you're bouncing around, you can't find your footing. You go to Hershey. Now you're this sage veteran who knows how to win championships, who knows how to guide a team. And it's a value. And I think Washington sees that. And you become almost a free agent again. And they say, we don't want that because Dylan is the guy. And they sign you to a two-year one-way deal. Talk last thing about the contracts. But when I signed my first one-way, I was ecstatic. You signed him early. Then you went through a slew of two-ways. Talk about last year when you sign a two-year one-way with Washington. Yeah. Like, that's got to be great for you and the family.
Yeah, obviously, now have it, like you said, now having the family, the financial component about it. But just a sense of pride too. Not that I need that. Not that I need it, but it is, that's rewarding. That's, when you think about all the hard work you put in and, to get rewarded like that. And, it was special, especially kind of in my role too. I wasn't an everyday player last year. Only played a handful of games, but they still went out of their way to offer me a contract, and that really, again, it was a no-brainer. I didn't even think twice. I signed, not only because it was one way and I hadn't seen a one-way contract in about a decade, but just the fact that they want me around, and it means a lot. So it just energizes me to come and be a part of this group and come to the rink every day, for that matter.
I love that. Like, it gives me goosebumps to feel that, because you did deserve it. You worked your ass off for 10 years and you did work hard. And I love when a team, you know, rewards a guy for doing that. Because a lot of the times when a team fails, and I'm not saying Washington failed, but last year wasn't the greatest year for them. The thing that turns over is the bottom 3D and then the bottom six forwards. But it's good for you. I'm like, I want to jump through the screen and give you a hug. So all that stuff is out of the way. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of why I want you here. Well, first of all, there's a guy at my show, Riley. He says, congrats on the Calder Cups. He said, I know it's a little late, but he's like, congrats on the Calder Cups. Let's look. Well, then, before we move on, how was that? Because I've never won a championship. I was nothing. You get that one in Grand Rapids. You're a big part of the team, not as big as you were in Hershey. How is that? You're captain of the team, leading this team to back-to-back Calder Cups.
Yeah, that was incredible. Short of obviously the Stanley Cup, but it's the greatest hockey achievement obviously I've ever been a part of, and the especially the first year, the way we won, we take it to game seven and go to overtime and win in overtime on the road. It was just like, you're on the, we use it naturally, it's like you're with your buddies, street hockey match, and that's you're putting yourself in game seven overtime. And thankfully I was on the ice for it. I got to throw my gloves in the air. It was surreal. And just that group of guys, to be there from day one, Grand Rapids was special, but I came at the deadline, but to be there from day one, be the captain, it just meant that much more. And then the next year we had to do it all over again, but this time with all the expectations. So that part was, it was amazing to see how we were able to accomplish our goal, because I find so often it's a letdown that next year. Florida Panthers proved that wrong too, but that was a lot of like lifelong memories. A lot of just pride of playing in the AHL. I know it's always, that league is always second to the NHL, but just thankful to be a part of that league.
And it's not like you're playing with nobodies. How cool is that now? Because you played with McMichael and Alexiev and LaPierre. Protas was down there for a cup of coffee. How neat is that, that this group?
Yeah.
Now you're all with the Caps. Like, it's super. Do you guys acknowledge that when you're in the locker room? Like, hey, like Calder, now we're going to win maybe
the Stanley Cup. Yeah. I mean, the big joke was like the Hershey Bears were all on the Caps. Like Protas, McMichael. Yeah, LaPierre. It was, everyone was Hershey Bears fans after all the young guys were doing so well. So, yeah, it's a special group to be a part of.
So I don't know the Hershey Bears well, but I got a question from one of my listeners. He said, you played for Todd Nelson for the Hershey Bears. And I'm just quoting verbatim, so don't get mad at me. He said, is Todd Nelson as much of an asshat as he seems slash looks? So I don't know what that means. Maybe he's not a big Todd Nelson fan, but what's wrong with Todd Nelson?
That's a troll. He's the best. Yeah. He's one of my, he is my favorite coach. I have three Calder Cups with him. He was the coach in Grand Rapids too.
Yeah. Oh, no so kidding.
He's my guy. Not only a great person, but, a great coach. His big thing is, first week of the season, he has a pig roast. He roasts a big pig. It's just his version of having a get together party. Yeah. Just really sets the floor, sets the stage, just as it's going to be a family environment. You feel like when he's at the rink, he's approachable and like, it just goes a long way. And that's, I think, why he's had so much success. He's not intimidating in any fashion, but, when it comes down to X's and O's, he knows his stuff. So, I'm glad he's getting a good opportunity in Pittsburgh now,
Maybe that's why they're upset at him, because now he's coaching Pittsburgh. So that might be the case. That's probably it. All right. I retract that question. Whoever asked that, shame on you. All right. Moving on to the fun stuff. The show is called Dropping the Glove. So this is a fighting show. I think we wrestled together when I was down with the Black Aces. I think the coach, I don't know if it was Shawnee or somebody, was like, Johnny, go teach Dylan some stuff. I wish I would not have, because maybe that's why I got kicked out of the league so early. But is it lost on you that you are basically a hired gun? And in the sense that, and I was the same way, where, okay, I'm going to play maybe 30, 40 games this year. When I play, it's versus the physical teams. It's versus Columbus. It's versus Philly. It's versus, well, now Montreal and Ottawa. Everybody seems to be bulking up in the East. Is it lost on you that that's why you're playing? Because I was in the same role, but does it, and I don't want to go back to the mentally thing here, but like, that's a big part of your game. Let's talk about fighting. How do you manage that?
Yeah. Well, you saw last year, just the way the East went, it was old school again for a moment of time. And then every team was signing their one guy, 1-2 punch. Mentally for me, like I talked about earlier, it never gets easier. You're still got those butterflies going into a match. You know, you're playing Olivier tonight, you're playing Rempe, you're playing McDermott. But I think now that I'm older, I'm not as trigger happy as I once was. I like to make it come to me. Obviously, if we're getting crushed and we need a momentum swing, I know that's my role. The coach knows it's my role. He's not like in the olden days, they might have kicked you in the ass and say, go get out there, but it's a little more subtle now. But, it's always in the back of my mind, that will follow me around till I'm done and I'm not good at it anymore. So, it's not lost on me, no, to answer your question.
So last year you got fined because you were skating along the red line with Arbor Xhekaj. What happened for you to get fined? Why were you such a bad boy, Dylan?
that was unfortunate.
What was it, $5,000?
It was two. I mean, it's based on your salary. But still, $2,000's $2,000, especially for taking warm-ups. That was an expensive warm-up. That's funny. I mean, I'm sure you could ask him the same question. It was silly. It was kind of accidental. It was a heated series, don't get me wrong. And there was the warm-ups were, there was some bumping going on in warm-ups. So I think the league just put an end to it by just making a statement. I actually never even said to him or said anything to him. It was just kind of one of those things where our sticks clashed or I forget what happened, but it was pretty harmless, but the league made a pretty big statement. So
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're sitting there going, I didn't do anything. Why am I getting fined? I'm sure 2000 got into your bank account pretty quick from the Rangers. We won't get into that. Or not from the Rangers. Yeah, it was. It was Capitals, with the Capitals.
Yeah, the boys. I'm sure.
I'm sure they made it right. But those situations seem to follow you around. And then, like, the Delorier fight, and it was the frozen frenzy or something was going on, and you dropped the mitts with him, and then the Matt Rempe, and then the Olivier, and then the Reeves. What's it like when you're fighting these guys? Is it ever frustrating to you? Because this was frustrating to me a little bit, where you're winning fights. Like, you're beating these guys up. You're obviously one of the top tier in the league, and then you get sent down again. And you're like, what the heck's going on? What do I have to do to stay in this league? And then you come up again and you beat up another tough guy. Was there a time where you're like, what do I got to do to stay in this league
for? Yeah. Well, that kind of just, I think the game had evolved. It was evolving my whole career. It was kind of slowly becoming, that was getting pushed out, this the one-dimensional game. For me, it was frustrating. I think my first one against McGrattan, I was like, okay, I fight the toughest guy in the league. I hope I can earn my keep here. And then, I was sent down. But obviously, different circumstance. I think someone came back from IR. It was just, I had to go back. And basically, any time I was called up, that was the case. But that's where honing my craft in the AHL really helped. Because I could pick my spots, I could really work on my game, not be just so hyper-focused on fighting their tough guys. So being able just to let the game come to me. And usually when I'm playing my game and making big hits, then the fights take care of themselves. And I've always found I'm a better fighter when it's something like that. Someone approaches me and I'm not chasing the game.
Yeah. We'll talk about that, because that almost happened last year. The Jalen Chatfield situation. We'll get into some certain things. I'll give you my take on it. The guy's a dirtbag. I feel like what he did was completely uncalled for, grabbing somebody, throwing him down. I can't remember. Was it McMichael who we grabbed? He seeks it out. It's 4-1. McMichael's not a tough guy. He should have been suspended 5 to 10 games, what he did. So the stage is set. You're playing him 8 days later. You get inserted into the lineup. Like I said, everybody seems to be watching you when you play, because it's a big moment. They're one of your biggest rivals. The game starts. Duhamie fights him. I think it was later on in the first, so it wasn't the first shift. What? And I know I had conversations with the guy. I played with a lot of middleweights. We would chat before the games. What are you guys thinking? We'd play Toronto. They'd have Colt Knorr and Fraser McLaren and all these other guys. Who are you going to take? What's going to happen? What do you say to Duhamie before the game? Do you say, I'll take care of this kid? Or is he like, I got it?
Yeah, it was obviously, that was a big built-up game. Not only just that, but the rivalry between us. That was a tricky one, because Chatfield's not necessarily in my weight class. And he's, I don't even know if he had many fights at that point. That was more the natural Duhamie would be the one he was going to go with. But like, we didn't know if he was going to go at all. So, I asked him earlier and he just kind of played dumb.
What'd you say?
That's his choice. I don't blame him. I am glad that he did take care of business. That just shows that part of the game, and there's still some honor. That's what I'll say about that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to get you bulletin board material. We're going to keep it safe. So let's talk about the Capitals in general, because you get called up and you've been with the team, 4 years now, I want to say?
This will be year five. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Year five. And so you come into this situation. Let's talk about the Ovi situation first. He's chasing Wayne. I went out and I said, there's no way he's going to pass Wayne Gretzky. Not a chance. I was one of the only ones kind of rooting against him. What was it like last year? Because you were around that team, and just he would get 3 goals and 2 goals, and he's on pace for 50. Then he gets hurt, and he comes back, and he's just still killing it. And you're around him. You're in the room. You're probably rehabbing with him, right? Doing bag skates with him one-on-one. What was that like, being around greatness?
There's one thing about making the league, and then there's another getting to play against or with your with a superstar and chasing greatness. Talking about him and Gretzky in the same breath, it's just, it's insane. But yeah, it was such a fun season just to observe him and watch him chase that, what I thought was unattainable record. I think every human nature would be to have reservations to see if he could do it, just given age and everything. But he just, I think he loves to prove people wrong, and he's just so determined in his own, when he wants something, he'll just go get it. So yeah, tons of fun. And he just brought the positive energy all season. And then it just seemed like our season revolved around that, and we were winning games, and it was just a ton of fun to be around. Yeah.
Has he, because I have to do it. You haven't scored since 2016 in the NHL. And I know it's hard to hear that, but that's, I think, when George Bush was president. It's a long time ago. Has he worked with you at all? Does he take you aside and say, Dylan, this is what we need to do? Like, this is, you're doing this wrong. Does that ever happen? Or do you say, Ovi, give me some tips? What flex do you
have? Yeah, no, I'm not, that has not happened. No. And I think you can look at every other scorer. He just scores differently than most players. He's just an enigma. Yeah. Just by the curve he uses, the flex he has, the height of the stick is just different than a lot of goal scorers I've been around. So he's his own animal. And I should go to him to ask for some advice, because he scored a lot of goals. I'm sure he could help.
Well, and to be honest, Dylan, it can't get any worse.
It really can't.
That was cheap. Not that I lit the lamp. I only had 5 in 300 games, so I'm not someone sitting here. I'm a goal scorer. But talking about Washington, because obviously studs there. How happy is Tom Wilson to have you on the team? Because he used to have to do all the heavy lifting, and now he's got you. It's such a beautiful thing, and now he's able to score 20, 30 goals and still fly around there and make hits. Has he ever just acknowledged your presence and said, Dylan, thank you for being here?
You know what? For me to sit here and take credit for his 30-goal season would be pretty pretty wild. But, I think he was just at that point of his career. He was just ready to pop off. And yeah, that maybe that mindset switch of not having to be the guy to step up all the time helped him a bit. But you know what? Tom is such a great person, such a great leader. And he was one that really advocated for me to stick around. I think just seeing my journey and seeing how I fit in with the group, he was for sure going to management, giving me a full vote of confidence. So I owe a lot to Tom, and I'm just so happy to see him doing so well. And I'm really hoping he keeps it going and can push for that Olympic team, because I think he deserves it.
I think you should go into politics. Like, you have that look, and you're able to take a question and dissect it and just have such these polished answers. It's crazy you've never done this before. Like, and you do it so eloquently, Dylan. It's a nice thing.
Well, hey, I don't know about politics, but I'll appreciate the kind words there.
And he's got the hair too, and he's from like Moose Jaw, from Manitoba. How the heck does this happen? I thought you were going to be some knuckle dragger coming in here, and we're just going to talk about whiskey and fighting in the bars. Yeah. It's not who you are at all. It's a beautiful thing. One question I had, because I played defense growing up, all through my, minor hockey into the NHL. When I first played with the Wild, I was defense. Then I transitioned to forward. That's typically how it goes for tough guys. I know Nicky Delorier was a defenseman. All these other guys used to be defensemen. Did anyone ever pressure you or kind of ask you to be a forward?
Well, funny enough, I was a forward my whole life until my first year junior. Yeah. Yeah, weird. I was, my first full season, I think, was maybe the year before I played in Moose Jaw. So, but then, once I got to pro, I did play one game with the Rangers forward. I had about 4 minutes. I fought Jarrett Bull that game and had five hits. So that's my claim to fame of one game at forward. But, It never really came about. I think I had a couple power play shifts in the minors at net front. That's about it. But
Okay, I was going to say, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. Power play now, listen to you. You're probably, it was a 4-on-3 and you came out of the box. So it was a 5-on-4. That's right. So what are your career highs now? Because you've been around for 15 years. Is when you look back on it, just say you retire tomorrow, which you're not going to do. Is it the Calder trophies? Is it getting that one-way contract? Is it making the NHL highlight fights? Like what do you look back on and go, those moments are what I remember?
Yeah, I mean, starts off just getting drafted. What a surreal experience, since have my family there and celebrate with them. And
10 overall. That's crazy. What did you think when you got 10th overall?
I mean, I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. Like I had a feeling by then that I could maybe go in the first round just with all the interview process. And but 10, yeah, I had no clue. Though. That was insane.
Like you're with Granlin and Cam Fowler and Skinner and Tarasenko. Yeah. Like that's,
I know.
That's like 10.
It was a shock. I think everyone, especially me. No, that was a career highlight. And then, yeah, it's got to be the amazing teams I was on, the Calder Cups. Yeah. It's the best feeling in the world. No matter what league you're playing, you play men's league, you win a championship. It's awesome. But to win at the pro level, that's something that I'll never forget. And it'll be, once I'm all said and done, to look back on, I'm going to remember those teams. Yeah.
What's your favorite fight? My favorite fight is George Parros. One of my first ones, I knocked him out. It was a good one. And then Sean Thornton, because no one was beating him, and I really knocked him out. What is your, and I know you're still playing, because it's tricky, because you can't say, when I beat the doors off Olivier, because he's going to hear this. And go, here we go again.
Yeah.
Which one are you like, that? It was a good one.
I mean, there's memorable. I didn't win the fight, but I think fighting McGrattan, kind of like watching him when I was growing up, and then fighting almost one of his idols was pretty surreal. I think Wayne Simmons, again, I don't know, arguably draw in the fight, but it was kind of one of those heated Ranger Philly games. He had just, I think, knocked out McDonough the game before with kind of a sucker punch type thing. And then it was, Valentine's Day. It was just the hype around it. It was a good scrap. And, I think just at the Garden, center ice, that was pretty cool.
That's super cool. You've done some cool things.
Yeah.
Like you've done some really neat things. So now you're with the Capitals. You're playing in the NHL. Who is the hardest player to play against? Because you're out there against these stars. You see them zipping around. I know you have a good team. I know Dylan. I played with them in Phoenix. You know, Ovi, everybody knows him. So you guys are good. When you're playing a solid team, who's the guy who just terrifies you coming down one-on-one? Where you're like, okay, I gotta be careful.
Oh man, that's a good question. There's so many players that are dynamic and can just make you look silly. So I just try to not to put myself in those vulnerable positions, but a guy that probably is like subtly, I'm not subtle, but for a guy like me is like Nylander per se. He just kind of the poise and like make you bite and just walk around you. That's just first guy that comes to mind, but any of those smaller shifty guys are ones you got to look out for. My buddy in Carolina, Jarvis, has a tendency to do that too. He's shifty. And I try to chase him around all summer. I still can't do it. But those little water bug type guys are pretty hard to play against.
Are you annoyed as I am about the Jarvis and his entourage? It's like, we get it. He has friends and he invites them to his games. Like we get it. Like it's been beat to death. Do you ever give him a hard time about that? Like, Seth, hey, it's a summer skate. Where's all your friends? Where are they at?
No, you know what? He's hilarious. Like the first time I met him, granted he's at this point like 19, 20, so he's young, but I skate with him all summer. He doesn't say a word. I'm like, this guy's kind of whatever. He's like a low key guy. And then the next thing I know, I see him on TV yucking it up with reporters, talking about how much fun he's having. I was like, who the heck is this guy? Like, so yeah, it's, he's really, really good for the game though. Like his personality is just, I think, perfect for fan engagement. And I mean, we got a good rivalry against him though, Washington, Carolina. So I won't be saying that to his face when we play against him, but it's, he's a good kid.
I think that means he doesn't really just like you. If he's yucking it up with everybody else, Dylan.
Do you maybe ever think I have the problem. Maybe I'm just a dud.
Man, this guy seems to have fun everywhere he is, except for with me. What's going on?
No one ever thought of it like that.
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't want to let you go because I'm having fun, but I know it's your off day. What advice for kids, advice for me, what would you say? Because you're the perfect guy. You could do public speaking because of what you've been through. Just basically perseverance, right? Fortitude?
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, like I'm just living day to day. I'm enjoying every moment. But when you think about it, to not make a team for about a decade and be able to make the NHL again, that's, I take a lot of pride in that. And I think I found out early that you got to embrace the struggle too. The days in the minors, I never thought of it as a burden. I always tried to have fun everywhere I went. And I think that's obviously, I don't think that's a secret why I've had success, is just bringing that positive attitude and putting your like work boots on when it's time to play, no matter what league you're in, no matter what situation. I'm still having a ton of fun playing hockey. And as long as my wife and kids are having fun in the ride too, I'll play as long as I can. And I hope it never ends.
I don't think people realize how your mentality at the rink means you're going to sign another contract, especially for a bubble guy. Like if you're coming into the rink pissing and moaning, like, oh, why is Matt Roy playing tonight? Like I should be in it. We're playing a tough team. You're gone the next day. So you have to swallow that thought, because I thought it. I'm like, why the hell is that guy playing? I should be in the line. And to be able to do that, that's why you have a 15-year career. You know what I mean? That's why you sign your deal. So good for you. Like, it's honestly a testament to you mentally to be able to do that. And this podcast turned into like such a weird mentally. We should just talk about fighting the whole time. But yeah, you do have a great story, and you got a beautiful sweater on. Like, look at that. Is it cashmere?
It is. I think it's just cotton, but yeah, I'll take it. Take the compliment.
The way it drapes off your shoulders is incredible.
Yeah, the bay window really is nice too. Yeah.
Did you move around the house to find the nice spot?
This firm request from my wife, so I'll get her.
It's beautiful. Well, tell her she did a good job, and tell her you're doing everything right. So congrats on all your success, Dylan. Is there anything else we want to touch on? That's great.
This has been awesome. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, good luck this year. I hope you play some games, and I really, really hope you score a goal. Because you're health, are you healthy now? Are you back in action? Because you got designated. You're on the team.
I'm good to go. Road to one goal starts now. So,
do you think it's going to happen this year?
I think
honestly?
So. I think this is the year.
When do you think you're going to get in the lineup? Because Washington's playing pretty good. That's the problem.
That's the thing. It's I mean I'm biased, but I think we have one of the best decors in the league. So, but that's the thing. I'll be the cheerleader for right now, but when I'm called upon, I can't wait to play and help the team get some wins.
What's it like being around John Carlson? I don't want to extend this, but the guy's like a Hall of Famer. He's been everywhere, done everything. Does he still have passion for the game? Because he's 35. He's not much older than you.
No, he's unreal. He's around these parts, he's larger than life too. He's just such a presence and so ingrained in this organization. It's just a pleasure to be around. He is only a couple years older than me, but he seems like a 10 years older than me, and just how mature he is. And I mean, how comfortable he is here. And so, he's awesome to be around.
Speaking of presence in the community, like I just said, you should run for politics. I think Ovi could run for mayor of Washington and potentially win. What's it like running around with him? Not that you guys are, but if you go to dinner, you probably don't go to dinner when you're at home, but the guy is larger than life. Like, he's just so noticeable. So you're on the road, you go for dinner with him. What's that like?
It's hilarious. It's a lot of laughs. It's a couple pints of beer, but a lot of laughs, usually sushi. That's his favorite. He's very inclusive. He usually would go with the Russian guys, but anyone else is invited at all times. And he's just, anytime I'm around him, I'm laughing, smiling. And even just to be at the same table as him, it's pretty surreal.
You're just so humble. Just to be to breathe the same air as him is just it's just an honor for me. Sometimes when he farts, I go up behind him and smell it just to see what it smells. Is that what you're saying?
No, God, no. His farts. No, I would not do that. But
Ovi, that fart smells so good. I don't know how you do it. You're so
not quite. But
I'm just teasing. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on. This was a blast. I didn't know what to expect, and you exceeded expectations. So thank you. Good luck the rest of the way. Like I said, score that goal. Good luck with the fights. I know how it goes. But yeah, stay healthy, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right, Dylan McElrath of the Washington Capitals, soon to be maybe leading goal scorer on the team because Ovi's only got one.
So. Never know.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks for listening, everybody. Cheers.
Bye. John Scott.